Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, great to have you with us on the show. Dan Baker in a few moments. Arizona last night beat the Dodgers 8-5. A.J. Pollock had a huge night for the D-backs.
And a drive to left. That ball's got a chance, and that ball will fly out of here. How about that? He just misses on a home run, and then he hits a home run. And the Diamondbacks lead it 1-0. A.J. swings, and that's another one. His second of the night, number 8 on the year. And it's 5-0 Diamondbacks. How about the start to the 2018 season for one A.J. Pollock? To A.J. Pollock to start this 8th inning. And A.J. hits a deep drive to center. And that is his third of the night. Have a night, A.J. Pollock. It's a career night for him with the 3 home runs, 3 solo shots. He now has hit 9 on the year. The Diamondbacks lead goes to 8-5.
We love baseball. Love baseball. And the guy we're about to have on, the voice of Citizens Bank Park, you hear him every Phillies game you go to, Dan Baker. Dan, welcome back. It is so good to hear you.
Thank you, Steve. A.J. Pollock and those Arizona Diamondbacks were at Citizens Bank Park last week, and they are a very good team.
They put on quite a show, didn't they?
They sure did. You know, they've got some great pitching, and, you know, A.J. Pollock and Paul Goldschmidt in the middle of that lineup.
What do you like about the Phillies club? I mean, you know, you're doing there, you're working it, you're observing it every day, you've got a real feel for, you know what you're watching is good, and you know what you're watching sometimes is bad. So what do you like about this team?
I like the talent, the youthful enthusiasm. There's a good mixture. I think, Steve, the 2 free agent signings this past winter, Carlos Santana, even though he's off to a rough start, if you look at Carlos Santana's track record with the Cleveland Indians, he usually walks around 100 times a year. He'll usually hit 26 home runs, get close to 100 RBIs. So, I mean, he's going to produce. And he's also providing a lot of leadership, especially for the younger Latin players. And I think a guy that is playing a little bit better and maturation may have something to do with it, and perhaps the good influence of Carlos Santana on Michael Franco, the third baseman. He's got some power. And, of course, Jake Arrieta. Jake Arrieta had a tough night last night in Miami, losing to the Marlins 8-4. But Arrieta's 3-1, and he's had a couple of real good games. And, of course, just a couple of years removed from being the National League Cy Young winner.
You and I have the kind of jobs where, regardless of how the team is playing, we can't wait to get to the stadium, we can't wait to get to the ballpark, can't wait to get to the arena. That's just the nature of the job you've had over these years, the nature of the job I've had over these years. But when the team is winning, it gives a little bit of juice out there. How much fun has it been going to the ballpark the last month because you know you see something?
You can feel, and I know you can feel it with the Nittany Lions, a buzz in the air, an electricity at the ballpark, when the fans sense that there's a good product on the field. And the Phillies have gone from having one of the worst farm systems in baseball to one of the best. And there's a lot of good young kids in their farm system. But there's just, Steve, right now, an air of optimism. And the Phillies, of course, have a winning record at this moment, 16-12, despite having lost 3 games in a row, their last 3. and you know, they're hustling. Something that they're doing just about as well as anybody in baseball right now is the number of pitches that the hitters look at. So they're making other they're making the starting pitchers for the opponents work very hard, and they build up that number of pitches, and they're getting a lot of walks. So the Phillies' on-base percentage is better this year than it's been in a while. And you know, when you're putting people on base and creating opportunities to score some runs constantly, I mean, that's usually going to work out well for you. I remember, you know, some of the better Phillies teams that I've seen, the 93 Phillies, for example, who won the National League pennant, beating the Braves and lost to the Blue Jays in Toronto on Joe Carter's walk-off. They had four guys that walked 100 times. Lenny Dykstra, Dave Hollins, Darren Dalton, John Kruk. And, of course, they had a lot of people that could hit, but it seemed like the bases were always loaded, Steve. And, you know, it put a lot of pressure on the opposition, and it really improved your chances of scoring and winning the game.
You know, it's interesting. I just finished teaching class for this particular semester. And, you know, it's interesting. There are certain basics. And what I'm about to say, people go, well, of course it is. But you don't know it until you actually hear some kids try to do something. A basic pronunciation. You and I both know that credibility gets flushed the second that you mispronounce something. What does it take for you to get a name down? It's one thing to get the name of the Phillies player down, but to make sure you get the name down, especially of a player a lot of people had not heard of, maybe from an opposing team.
Well, Major League Baseball now provides an extensive list of a phonetic guide for all of the pronunciations, and especially with so many Hispanic players, Steve, playing at the big league level, you know, that assistance is, of course, very helpful. But I don't know about you, but besides seeing a phonetic spelling, sometimes it helps for me to hear someone who knows how to say that name to say it correctly. And you know, I'll give you an example. We were just talking about Arizona, and I think I just saw that Alex Avila just signed a contract extension, one of their catchers, and he spells his name capital A-V-I-L-A, and it looks like Avila, and we typically anglicize names, you know, Latin names like that, but we have a terrific Spanish language interpreter in Philadelphia, Diego, and he has been very helpful to me with the Latin names, and he'll help me with where to place the accent on a particular syllable, whether it's a first or a last name, and I'll have him say the name for me a couple of times, and so that is very helpful to me, and you. But you are right. Your credibility is definitely compromised if you start butchering names. And you know, gosh knows we come across enough of them. But every one of them deserves our respect and deserves the attention and the required homework that's necessary to make sure that you know how to pronounce that person's name.
Exactly, and actually the source I use, I agree with you. Actually hearing somebody else say it really helps me. And what I'll do is I'll go to the opposing team's play-by-play guy, and I'll say, hey,
yeah.
Matt, Paul, how do you say it? Ogungawali. Oh, okay, so I've got it now, Ogungawali. Now he carries the ball. Now, of course, my luck, he carries it 30 times in the game. But, you know, way to go, AJ. And
yes.
you can't do that.
No. But you know, The other thing, your job as a play-by-play announcer is much more difficult than mine because, you know, besides knowing how to pronounce all the names correctly, you know, you have to know all the statistical information. You have to know the background and have the ability to be descriptive with as each play unfolds. All I have to do, Steve, is say the name, or at the beginning of the game, down on the field, I think I'm the only PA announcer in Major League Baseball that does this. One of the umpires was just telling me that the other night.
I love when you do that, by the way, and I've told you that, that when you're down on the field pregame like that, I think it's one of the neatest things going. Everybody, and you've got people sitting there watching and enjoying it. I mean, to be honest with you, I wish everybody else did it.
Well, it was Bill Giles' idea when he hired me 47 years ago. Bill's feeling was that by being able to see the person who's introducing the lineups or who's throwing out the first pitch or introducing the national anthem, that it is able to develop a connection with the fans and a certain warmth or friendliness and to welcome people to the ballpark. And I think it does make that connection. And learning, you know, from some of my mentors over the years, Steve, like Jay Randolph, you know, Harry Callis, you know, guys that out of the Vin Scully, you know, the tradition of wearing, you know, the coat and tie and always looking very professional. And my father was that way, too. And, you know, I've tried to do that. I don't know whether that's, you know, out of style to some people, but it's something that I've grown up with and continue to do, and I think the fans like it. But more than the appearance, I would say, is seeing somebody, being able to connect with them, as opposed to some disembodied voice coming out of the public address system. You have no idea what the person looks like, so I think that has worked well, and I appreciate, Steve, the fact that the professional that you are, that it means something to you.
Oh, no, it means a lot to me. And, by the way, the jacket and tie, I mean, I remember sitting there. The last time I was there was last summer. It was a broiling hot day. You're out there, jacket and tie, cool as a cucumber. And, again, perfect. But you talk about difficulty in job, which was very kind of you to say about what I do. But, again, you've got to time things, and you have scripts that you have to read, and you have to be flawless in those scripts. What does it take? How much time do you put into looking at scripts that you have to read between innings, read before the game like we just talked about? What kind of time does that take? This is not Dan Baker has never been the person in my lifetime that showed up and just did the job. I always knew that you walked in completely prepared. What does that take?
Well, it really is helpful to me to see those scripts in advance. And we have a terrific marketing department, promotions department, and working in college sports with the Big Five in Philadelphia and working, you know, for the Philadelphia Eagles for all of those years. I've been blessed to work with some terrific people. But it is really helpful to all of us in this profession to be able to see those scripts in advance. Almost always, and it's, there are some typos, or there might just be an out-and-out mistake. It's not so much that the person writing the script is careless as it is that they might be getting the information late, or there may be changes. And it's helpful to see, everything in writing before you have to announce it. And if there is a mistake, you can catch it in advance as opposed to being surprised at the moment and trying to figure it out off the top of your head and then perhaps making a mistake yourself in trying to edit on the fly. What I'll do too, Steve, when I have these scripts is, you know, I might underline a word for emphasis. I'll try to get a sense for how they want it read, you know, and, and you know, where they are placing the emphasis. What is the point they're trying to make? What's most important here? So, and I don't want to make it sound like it's just an out-and-out read, like I don't care, you know, what's in the script. I'm just going to bull my way through it. And without caring how it sounds or what its effect is. So I want to be able to communicate with the fans, like I know what I'm talking about, and to try to sell, you know, what it is that I'm saying because I'm familiar with it. I know in it. I know about it. I believe in it. As opposed to, you know, a straight read that, you know, and you know, I think it helps your credibility, and I think the sponsors appreciate it. And you can imagine, you know, we'll have like sponsors throwing out first balls, and these are people that in some cases are spending hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, sometimes even seven figures. You don't want to butcher their names. It certainly sends the wrong message. We want them to know how much we appreciate, you know, they're making these games possible, and you know that we appreciate what they're doing, and you know, so that's extremely important.
Not only a great guy, but hardworking guy, very humble guy. Humility is certainly what is a hallmark of Dan Baker. What did it mean to you to go into the Camden County Sports Hall of Fame?
Well, that's where I grew up. I was born in Philadelphia. For almost the first 8 years of my life, we lived in Southwest Philadelphia, just beyond University City, where the University of Pennsylvania and Drexel University are.
Mm-hmm.
And I played. My parents moved to Mount Ephraim, New Jersey, when just before I turned eight. We moved in June of '54. I turned eight in September of '54, and I played Little League baseball there and Camden County baseball. And I played Garden State baseball. The you know, Little League was like 8-12, and then Camden County was 13-15, and Garden State 16-18, and I went to Audubon High School and played some sports there, and as well as Glassboro State College, now Rowan University. So that's kind of where I grew up. I really learn sports. I root for everything Philadelphia. But I probably became a big Philadelphia sports fan when we moved to New Jersey, ironically, just across the river from Philadelphia, because that's when I started playing sports. And my father took me to Phillies games at the old Connie Mack Stadium, and my uncles did, and I went with my brother and friends, and just fell in love with sports, baseball, basketball, football. We really only had minor league hockey in Philadelphia, Steve, when I was growing up. We had the Eastern League Philadelphia Ramblers.
Yeah.
Of course, the Flyers didn't come on the scene until like 67, 68. And, of course, I root for them with all my heart, too. But we're very fortunate, nestled as we are between Philadelphia and the Jersey Shore in South Jersey. And so it did mean a lot to me. I've been lucky enough, Steve, to be inducted into a few sports halls of fame, the Philadelphia Big Five, the Philadelphia Sports Hall of Fame. Gloucester County, which is where I'm currently living, and Camden County this past fall. I wasn't a bad athlete, Steve, but I certainly wasn't anywhere near good enough to be inducted on my athletic ability. I did pitch Mount Ephraim to the 1962 Camden County Pony League Championship game. I was the starting
go.
And winning pitcher.
There you go.
But, you know, I think when I was, I have to tell you, the MC said when I was inducted into the Philadelphia Big Five Basketball Hall of Fame in 19, 97, the MC said, well, just take one look at Dan. You can see he wasn't inducted on his athletic ability. And I said, well, thanks, I think. You know? and then I said, hey, listen, I wasn't that bad of an athlete. You know, I wasn't a Division I athlete, and not to mention a professional athlete, but I could play a little bit. And playing the sports, a lot of baseball, a lot of basketball, I think has really helped me, Steve, in doing play-by-play over the years, and you know, for the Big Five. And I did college football play-by-play, as you may know, for both Temple and Penn for a while. 7 years for Temple, 3 years for Penn. I did the Army football highlights on TV, and I still do the PA for Army-Navy football when they play each other at Lincoln Financial Field in Philadelphia. But my familiarity with the sports contributed to, in part, by my participation definitely helped me to learn the game and have a better feel for making the announcements, when to make them, timing, learning. You know, I'm sure you can hear it, and I can too. When somebody's on the air who's a little unsure of the game or doesn't have a full appreciation for some of the nuances, you can certainly tell.
No doubt. You just mentioned a word that I've talked about in my class many times. You got to have a feel for this. If you don't, find something else.
Yes.
You know, no question. This was fun. I really enjoyed it. You know I always enjoy talking to you. Dan, I hope to talk a little bit later in the season with you. This was a lot of fun. You are awesome as always. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, the voice of Penn State sports, Steve Jones.
Now, that's how I leave the show. There we go. Dan, thanks so much. I can't introduce you with the same gusto except to say you're awesome.
You're very kind, Steve. You've done more than enough. I appreciate it.
Dan, thanks so much. I look forward to talking to you later in the season. I can't wait to see you down the road, too.
Thank you, Steve.
The great, legendary, and we use legendary in the right context here, Dan Baker. So awesome to have him back on the show again today. He makes your experience at the arena, the ballpark, or at the stadium better by his presence. Bottom of the hour coming up. We will come back with more in a moment as we continue. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
We've been talking about various former Nittany Lions getting a shot. Rookie minicamp invitation from the Buffalo Bills to Winfield's Brandon Smith. How about that? So he's going to get a rookie minicamp invite with the Buffalo Bills. Very nice. All right. Great to have you with us here on the show. Don't forget, we're coming up. But what is, does it start? I want to say 5:30. Does that sound right? 5:45?
5:45.
5:45, Penn's Tavern. Trey Bauer, Keith Conlon, Wally Richardson, Tim Sweeney, Rogers Alexander, all the former Nittany Lions coming together. They'll be at the Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament tomorrow, but they'll be at Penn's Tavern this evening at 5:45. Stop by. Steve Engel says that the advance on this is really, really good. So come down and be a part of it and have some fun. It's all at Penn's Tavern tonight. Not only that, great food, too. I love Penn's Tavern. The atmosphere, the food. Oh, a night like this out on the deck. Oh, man. That's really nice. Really nice. So that is tonight. So go on over. Be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it very, very much. Dick Girardi is going to be here on the show Thursday to talk about the Kentucky Derby. Justified is the early favorite at 3-1, and Justified is going to go from the 7-hole. Okay, here's a weird twist when it comes to the transfer of college basketball players. Ahmad Wagner, who actually started against Penn State back in December, started, transferred, and left Iowa. Guess where he's going? Kentucky, to play football. They think he can be a tight end on the Kentucky football team. So, that is one to look for. And that's a completely different transfer right there. How about Jim Harbaugh the other day? You know, going on about, you know, transfers and free agency. Okay. But this is the same guy that the day Shea Patterson looked like he was going to be allowed to transfer. He was down there taking them to a Waffle House. In fact, I think it was an IHOP down in Oxford. Like, Shea Patterson's going to be an interesting player, obviously. A lot of people feel that he goes to Michigan, it immediately puts them right into the race. Stuart Mandel of SI, for example, of the Athletic, thinks that puts them right into the top 10 by getting him. And I'm not so sure. You know, his numbers were, in the limited time he played at Ole Miss, were really, really good. Really good. No getting around. And he's a prototypical NFL-style quarterback. That helps. He's got good size. That helps. But there are a lot of people at Ole Miss that tell you that they don't think he was going to win the job down there. How about that? I mean, that's what I find an interesting twist to all this, that there are a lot of people in Oxford and Jackson that didn't think he was going to win the job there. Wow. Now, obviously, maybe Michigan's the perfect fit for him. I don't know. But, you know, it's been interesting about Jim Harbaugh. He's not exactly been what you would call the quarterback whisperer. And I've talked about this before. The ability to, I mean, he's been there 4 years, plus, of course, the years he was at Stanford. He has not been a guy that has, you know, I mean, yes, he developed a great natural talent in Andrew Luck. And I never want to discount coaching. I never want to do that. Because Andrew Luck did not get... Andrew Luck, certainly, you know, his father, Oliver Luck, quarterback, fine player in his own right. But look, he had to learn and grow, and there's no question Jim Harbaugh did a great job with him. Right? Never discount coaching. But, you know, you look at the other parts. All right, Alex Smith. All right, he goes to the 49ers, he's got Alex Smith. He then changes to Colin Kaepernick. And he gets away with a style for a year until everybody adjusted to it. If Jake Rudock does not transfer in from Iowa, what does his first season at Michigan look like? Wilton Spate hung in there for 2 years, and now they got this kid. Now they had John O'Korn. It's been transfer, transfer, transfer. He's not been able to recruit. For some reason, he can't seem to recruit a guy that's his guy. It's interesting. Now, they're making the trip, as you know, to Paris right now. I will say this. I did see the Marty Smith piece on ESPN about them visiting Normandy. That is powerful. That's a place that, along my lifetime, I would like to get to see Normandy in person. I want to see Pearl Harbor in person. So that is powerful. But, you know, they get the publicity out of this. I've got that. I mean, I've got the fact that they do have the publicity out in making these trips to Rome and to Paris. But I don't know what it does for them. I mean, there's obviously an educational component. I got it. You're going to go to the Colosseum. You're going to go to the Vatican like they did last year. This year they've gone to the Louvre. They've gone to Normandy. But you feel like a lot of it's, you feel it still has the feel, whether this comment's fair or not, of being publicity stunts. I will say, though, them going to Normandy was moving to watch. It was. And the great respect that they showed. Yeah, I just don't see how you can look at those beaches and then look at all those the mass graves. One cross after another, and then one Star of David after another. And not be moved beyond words by it. And they're not missing any class. Michigan's not in class right now. But it is, I don't know. Nobody else is doing it. I'm glad, for example, you know, I've talked before about foreign trips and basketball and all the other. I mean, you've heard me talk about it before. I'm not that crazy about it then. Yeah, I think you need a break from stuff once in a while. But. All right. So that's what's going on there. The Sixers have the night off. Don't play again until Thursday. Penguins play tonight when they take on the Capitals in Pittsburgh. Tied at a game apiece tonight going into the game. This is kind of a slow day in sports. Great to have Dan Baker on. Of course, the Kentucky Derby, we talked about Dick Girardi is going to be on the show about 3:15 on Thursday. Looking forward to having DJ on. I thought the interview of the week so far has been, as much fun as Dan Baker was, we've had others too, was Mike DeCourcy. He did not mince words when it came to the Rice Commission and what they did and didn't do. Remember the first words I used last week were, okay, step forward, not bold. It was not, what they did was not bold. College basketball needs bold.
Yeah, that doesn't qualify as a great start. But yeah, but if you're going to go somewhere, you got to go in the right direction.
But again, I mean, but, okay. To me, the headline, and every headline I looked at on every website, was NCAA wants one and done abandoned, or whatever, or done away with. Well, the NCAA can say that. That's not the headline. Hey, that's the simple thing that you think a fan understands. That's not the headline. Now, admittedly, it's the first thing they started with. But the NCAA has zero to do with one and done. Nothing. Can't control it. Have no vote. Have no say. Right? So it's not the headline that that's what they want. Who cares what they... The NBA doesn't care what they want. The NBA cares about what makes the NBA look good. The NBA has a system that's really, really working great for them right now. And I mentioned once, I mentioned 100 times in the show, the NBA, the owners want to see 2 years in school and 20 years of age instead of 1 year and 19. And the reason they want 2 years and 20 is because they want a more mature league. Now, you wouldn't be enjoying, for example, Jason Tatum in the playoffs right now. But this league, the really good teams in this league over the years have been the mature teams, the Spurs. Golden State's gone from a young team that couldn't make the playoffs to a mature team that does. Cleveland Cavaliers, mature team. Toronto's become a mature team. I mean, it's the older teams that make the deep advances in the playoffs. Team with great young talent, Minnesota Timberwolves. They finally made the playoffs this year as the eighth seed. I mean, they finally made it as an eight. And they want a more mature league. They don't want to be scouting high school games. But again, if you're going to sit there and look at what they're doing, how can you maybe force the NBA's hand a bit? You can force their hand a bit by, they took the step of, we're going to let, if you're not drafted, you can go back to school. Okay. You should allow anybody who goes into the draft the ability to go back to school, even if they get drafted. You know, I mean, that to me is at least a step. Now, does it cause hardship for coaches? There's no question it does. Because you do spend a lot of time trying to manipulate your numbers. I understand that. And I just think that, numbers wise, you got to make sure that, you know, do you still leave room if a guy, you know, a guy like Deshaun Hamilton, for example, fifth year senior, he's not coming back. You know, darn well, you know, that Saquon's not coming back. So, I mean, Penn State football, for example, would not have anybody in that realm right now. And Saquon was the only early entry, and it doesn't matter. Tony Carr, yeah, it does matter. You know, Tony is going to get into, by the way, the Chicago Combine. Do not sit there and pretend it is easy to get into the Chicago Combine. It is not. Chicago Combine is not easy to get into. It is not a dime a dozen. And they do it in quadrants, 1, 2, 3, and 4. I mean, I know where Tony ended up. He ended up actually in a good one, which helps. But it is something that you're going to have. I think there are 70 players that have an agent right now. There are only 60 spots. So you're going to talk about 10 players minimum, because obviously I haven't even figured in the foreign players yet. I haven't figured in the college seniors yet or anything like that. I haven't figured any of that in. So you're going to have a minimum of 10 players and probably as many as 25 that sign with agents and have no recourse of going back. I think you need to come up with a reasonable agent rule, advisor rule, use hockey and baseball as a starting point to then work it out for what you can get out of this. And remember this too. Remember this part too. EA Sports wants to come out with a college football game again. Well, you can't do it unless you give... believe me, they want to make it as realistic as possible. The players that are in it have to get compensated somehow. So there's more to it than this. Again, they didn't go far enough. You've got to be able. I completely agree. I don't want players to be paid. Scholarships mean something. That is brushed off too easily by an ignorant group. Too easily. Talk about thousands of dollars. Okay, all of you out there who had to pay back loans, put your hands up. Okay, all of you out there who have paid for your kids to go to school, they may have had to do a combination of loans and your hard-earned money. Put your hands up. How many of you can't afford to go to college? Hands up. Yet you've got a national media that acts like a scholarship is like nothing. Oh, and by the way, the athletic trainer they get, the strength and conditioning coach they get, the speed coach they get, the personal instruction they get from the assistant coach, the head coach, the national TV exposure they get. I mean, there's a lot of items that come, but you know, going to college that you can't put a price on. But you also have to have a 2018 model that works, not a 1918 model. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Okay, what does it mean to get into the NBA Combine? This is last year's numbers. 72 invitees last year, 48 players drafted, 9 withdrew before the draft, 17 went undrafted. About half of the undrafted players, though, did see at least a minute in the NBA, mostly on two-way contracts between the G League and the NBA. Among the 10 players who were not invited to last year's Combine but were chosen in the draft, only 2, Sterling Brown and Jabari Bird, were American college players. Total percentage of college players invited to the Combine that were drafted, 67%, 48 out of 72. Total percentage of college players invited to the Combine that withdrew, 11%. Total percentage of college players invited to the Combine stayed in the draft and were drafted, 75%. Total percentage of college players drafted in 2017 who were not invited to the Combine, only 4%. Non-college players invited to the Combine, there were 4 total last year. Non-college players that ended up getting drafted, 10 last year. So yes, getting into the Combine in Chicago, not easy, nor should it be. But if you get there, you dramatically increase your odds of getting to your goal, and that's being drafted in the NBA. Susquehanna Valley Country Club tomorrow. I'll be there with the hard hat.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.